Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, today we're going to be talking about COVID trends, GameStop, Iran, China, and a new alliance in the Middle East. You know, I don't know if you know what other countries around the world are thinking when they look at the United States today. Many of them are very pleased about the election bringing in Joe Biden as president, and other countries are very worried. And in fact, even some of America's so-called allies are happy about Joe Biden being in, like China and Iran. Iran, not an ally of America, but they're certainly happy and pleased about Joe Biden being in the White House now instead of Trump. But there are other countries who are looking at this, and they are worried. They see Joe Biden as being weak. And now other countries in the Middle East and beyond are proclaiming their strong alliance with Israel. In fact, Egypt just sent someone over here to speak with Israel. India is making pronouncements about its strong ties with Israel. And it seems to be with the Abraham Accords as well, and the threat of Iran, that a new alliance seems to be taking form here in the Middle East with their lack of faith in the United States. Whether they're upset at the policy, the foreign policy of this new government, this new administration in the United States, or whether they're just worried that America won't be able to keep Iran at bay and their own countries are going to be in danger. So all this is coming up on the show today. You can call in. We are live if you're listening on Tuesday morning between 7 to 8 a.m. Holy Time right here in the Land of Israel. Or if it's between midnight to 1 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, we are live. Feel free to call in and join us on the air. And join us in the chat room. We'll be right back.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
All right, COVID trends, GameStop, Iran, China, and a new alliance forming in the Middle East as much of the outside world looks at America today as weak and maybe not being able to keep their promise as and not being a strong ally today. We're going to be talking about all these topics. Our guest is Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem. He's a researcher, former lecturer at Ben-Gurion University, and has authored over 80 books and 400 research papers on science, history, and more. He commentates on Mideast and world issues. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's start out with the COVID trends. Israel has vaccinated over half of its population that's eligible to be vaccinated, meaning over 16 years old, et cetera, et cetera. For those who are for the vaccine and want it, this is an amazing feat that Israel's been able to do that. I don't think any other country in the world has been able to do as efficiently as Israel. Those who don't want it here in Israel, That's another story, and that's for another show. But they're doing an amazing job vaccinating people who want it. And I want you to talk about the COVID trends.
Okay. I've just published an article in a scientific journal, which looks at the trends in basic data, the basic data being the three most important data points: how many people have tested positive, how many people have died, and how many people have recovered. And those are the I record these numbers every morning since March, and I'm graphing and tracking the changes in these numbers as time goes on. And I will say that until about a month ago, all of these numbers were very definitely pessimistic. And there's been a change over the last month. And I emphasize that you mentioned the issue of vaccinations. I emphasize that all of the data that I'm giving now are prior to vaccinations. In other words, you said that no other country is comparable to Israel. No other country is even close to Israel. We actually have more than three quarters of our adult population already inoculated. It's a logistic problem. It's not a medical problem, issuing the inoculation. Just to give you, listeners a numerical idea of what I'm talking about, there was a news release last week from the mayor of New York City, stating that they hope to be able to inoculate 15,000 people a week. We've inoculated 150,000, 10 times that number, per day. Not per week, per day.
Okay.
So it's a logistical issue, and we tend to be pretty good at logistics. I have to say that one of my former jobs was as a lecturer in the Department of Logistics at Sapir College in the South. So I have some ideas about logistics, and I know a little bit about what's going on in the country and in the world in the area. And we've simply done a very good job in the logistics of this. And what we're seeing now are two very, very significant changes. A, the numbers of mortality and the numbers of contractions are going down. The numbers of recovered are going up. Not only have they gone up, not only have they passed, the number of recovered per day is now higher than the number of contractions per day.
And this is all stats from before the vaccine, you're saying?
Well, I'm saying nobody in the world has vaccines. I mean, everybody is proceeding extraordinarily slowly with the vaccinations. In Europe, no country has reached even single-digit percentages of their population.
Okay, but I'm a little bit confused. The stats that you're giving out are worldwide or for Israel?
No, worldwide only. I'm talking about
worldwide. The disease. So then what you're saying then is that we don't even need the vaccine if these are the trends.
I don't want to make that statement. What I will say is that the I must emphasize, I'm not a doctor. I'm not an epidemiologist.
You're not a medical doctor. You are a doctor.
In terms of data analysis.
Right.
In terms of the data, the basic data, the virus appears to have run its course.
This is amazing news.
And it is trending now very, very optimistically.
This is amazing news.
Yes, it is. Which is why when I sent it off to a journal, the article was approved within 2 days, which is extraordinary in itself. Scientific journals are not generally that quick. I mean, it takes time to review an article, etc. Even though this is a very short article, I think it was 2 pages or 3 pages, something like that. But the data here is very significant and extraordinarily optimistic. So people need to, start the day with a smile today.
All right. So I just want to reiterate that these are statistics that are worldwide, that are happening where mostly the world's population are not getting vaccinated yet. So this is amazing. So basically, for those who are hesitant about getting vaccinated, this is very, very good news that in spite of, you know, people being pressured by their peers to get vaccinated, we see the trends going down. Go ahead. Keep going.
Okay, so that's all I intended to say about the issue of COVID. Again, this is a data analysis. Anyone could have done it. Anyone who understands basic knowledge of statistics there's no magic involved here. There's very little science involved here. This is just recording data out of my ridiculously insatiable curiosity. Since the beginning of March of last year, so I have nearly a year of data. And the data is fascinating.
Okay. And so next topic then, the good news, let's move on.
Okay. We want to talk a little bit about the incident that took place, I think it was now almost 3 weeks ago in the American stock markets. There's a concept in the stock markets called a hedge fund. People are probably aware of the concept. They're probably not quite aware of what that actually means. A hedge fund is essentially a fund of funds. Essentially, they take money from funds like pension funds and other things like that, and they invest it, and they attempt to make money out of that. Now, so the first thing we need to – the first flag that needs to be – people need to be aware of is that these people, these professional investors, they're not investing their own money. They're investing other people's money.
Right.
They have no vested interest in that sense in terms of the result. They'll get their seven-figure salaries and their enormous bonuses if they succeed or if they fail, if they go up or they go down. Not only that, most of their investors also don't invest their own money. In other words, if they take money, for instance, from a pension fund, well, the people who manage the pension fund, it's not their money either. So we're talking about two and three and sometimes even four or five removals from the actual owners of the funds. So that's a very basic thing, because when you're investing your own money, you tend to look at things quite differently than if you're investing just as a pastime, as something that you do because that's your job or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So these hedge funds did something that's called shorting. They short a stock. What does a short mean for those who are uninitiated? It essentially means I'm going to sell a stock that I don't own. I will borrow stock. Borrow might be in double quotation marks because actually they don't actually borrow it. I will borrow a stock. I will sell it for, let's say, $100, and I hope to be able to buy it back. In other words, to return it to whoever I bought it from at $50. Well, that's the basic idea, and it sounds nice. I mean, you know, it's basically a gamble. You're gambling that the stock is going to go down. Well, what's the problem here? The problem here is twofold. A, since it's not their money, they don't really care if they succeed or if they fail. And if they succeed, that's nice. But, you know, if it goes down to 50, that's lovely. They've doubled the money. If it goes down to zero, that's even better. So what the hedge funds try to do, actually actively try to do, is force these companies into receivership, into bankruptcy at some level, which, of course, means that all the people that work for these companies are out of job. The real investors in the companies have lost all of their money. And, you know, everybody comes out a loser, except for the hedge funds, of course, who have made enormous amounts of money here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that sounds like a nice story. It sounds like a little bit, you know, let's call it capitalism gone crazy, which it is. But then along came a very interesting phenomenon. Because people are basically staying at home and have nothing to do, a lot of people are out of work. Well, a bunch of people got together via some internet site and said, hey, wait a minute, why don't we do the opposite of what the hedge funds are doing? In other words, they're betting it's going to go down. We'll bet it's going to go up. And they started buying the shares in this company, GameStop or Game something or other. I think it's GameStop. And they started buying the shares in the company. Well, the hedge funds, it turns out, because these real buyers were actually buying the stock while they were forcing it to go down. So they were buying it for cheap. What happened was that the hedge funds were losing, listen to the numbers, tens of billions of dollars.
Okay, so hold it right there. You'll continue after the break. Don't go anywhere, everybody. We're going to find out more, and we're going to be discussing more topics.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And our guest, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, is talking about GameStop and about stocks and trading and something that puts me to sleep. But he says it's important, so I'm listening. All right, finish up, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Okay, and here's the important part. You're right. You're exactly right in what you said. Here's the important part. Everything I said today was just so far on this was just background. Now, here's what's really significant. When the hedge funds, who are big, powerful, rich people, saw what was happening and saw that they were losing money, what did they do? Did they come out and make all sorts of statements and blah, blah, blah? No. They changed the rules while it was going on. And suddenly, all of these private investors could not retrieve their money. And it had all been frozen by the investment vehicles that they were using to invest in, who are controlled by the hedge funds. And one of these vehicles, with the amazing name of Robinhood, it turned out not only was he not this Robinhood thing, not only was he not stealing from the rich to give to the poor, he was stealing from the poor to give to the rich, literally. He was using the data that he acquired from all these private investors who he had promised to invest to ensure their privacy and lied, and selling this data to the hedge funds so they would know where the markets were trending.
Okay, and the point?
The point is that the hedge funds control the market. The market did not control itself. When I've said, tongue-in-cheek, this is sort of capitalism gone wild, this is not capitalism gone wild, this is capitalism gone
rogue.
Absolutely sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of these people, many of these people made money, many of these people didn't make money, but what's really important is not the actual money, but the actual control. And this is very, very eye-opening for anyone who's involved in at any level with the idea of stocks, commodities, bonds, whatever market you like to look at.
Yeah, it did. It made the headlines. People were upset. They were talking about organizing, trying to stop things like this, and the people getting back against the big conglomerates, etc.
You're
okay.
Very right, but we need to remember what happened in 2008. 2008, these big market makers, the hedge funds, the investment banks, and etc., they lost a lot of money, hundreds of billions of dollars around the world, hundreds of billions, and nobody went to jail. Nobody failed to receive their bonuses. There was no retribution whatever. And the same thing has happened here. So far, there has been absolutely no result out of this at all, other than the enhancement of the power of these super rich people, which reminds us also of what's going on with Facebook and Google and all these other super rich people, etc. And anybody who's interested, I'm going to get off this topic and go on to something else. But anyone who's interested in what's happening, I would strongly recommend to take an interest in what's going on between Facebook and the government of Australia at the moment. It's a fascinating story.
Let's not tease and then not deliver. Just that basically Facebook has prevented news stories to be passed up, to be posted and shared on Facebook. They can't have news shared there. They can't.
Yeah,
post
but you
news.
Have to give the background to that.
Okay, then do it really quick. Go.
The Australian government said, look, you guys, Facebook and et cetera, you're making a lot of money out of news that you're not paying for. So we want you to pay to the producers of the news. These people are working to produce news, and you're taking it for free and then making money out of that. So we want you to pay the news producers, the newspapers or the radio stations or whatever that produce this news. And Google said, okay, negotiated and came up with a deal.
You mean Facebook?
And Facebook said, I don't give a damn about you. You can go look for yourself on the nearest rock. And then they stopped allowing news to be posted, allowing news from Australia to be posted on Facebook. And Australia is simply seething.
Keep going.
Even people that liked Facebook just despise it totally today in Australia. And the whole world is looking at this. And this is a very important incident. Again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this right now, but very important, very significant. People who are thinking about these issues of these super rich people with powers that are mind-boggling, I would strongly recommend go to Sky News in Australia and look at some of these things that are going on. Fascinating, fascinating subject.
Yes. Okay. So it's Sky News Australia for anybody who's interested. And surprisingly, they're I wouldn't say right-wing, but they're fair and balanced. They really are. Okay. So next topic. The president of the United States today, Joe Biden, is looked at by many different nations around the world as being very weak, and its allies around the world are worried that America today is even unreliable as an ally, with them cozying up to China, with them giving in to Iran, and they see this as a threat to their nations. And as we always say, countries or nations don't have friends, they only have interests. And with their lack of being able to rely on the United States as a strong ally of theirs, they're making their own little diplomatic negotiations now. And Israel seems to be a magnet for many of these countries, including India, Egypt, some of the countries in the Abraham Accords, etc. So tell us more about that.
Okay. First of all, the quotation that you just quoted was, its source was Henry Kissinger, if anybody's interested in quotations. Countries don't have friends, they only have interests. I don't happen to agree with that, but it's an interesting quote. Biden is perceived as weak because he is extraordinarily weak. He's attempting to continue what Obama began, and Obama was perceived as being extremely weak, and he was. Biden has nominated hundreds of nominees for the various jobs in his administration that have strong ties to the Chinese Communist Party. This is an extraordinary thing to look at. Extraordinary. Unbelievable. He's attempting to re-enter the JCPOA, the nuclear deal with Iran, the disastrous deal that Obama sort of negotiated. We've heard comments from John Kerry about this. Pardon me. And there's been a fascinating series of incidents going on now in terms of pushback against these moves. Basically, people around the world, and it's enormous, it's amazingly, and it's amazing in its geographic spread, have looked at this and said, well, America just isn't there. There's nobody to talk to. There's no. What was the Obama thing? What he said? There's no there. There's nobody there. There's nobody home. And we see that there are two fulcrums. A lot of people are joining in, but there are two individuals who happen to be very close personal friends. Again, going back to the beginning of this segment, who are moving this thing very, very intelligently and very smartly forward. And these two are Netanyahu and Modi of India. The Egyptians are on board. The Saudis are on board. The Emirates are on board. Taiwan, Japan, and the Philippines are looking very, very closely at this. As I said, the geographic spread is amazing. In terms of North Africa, the king of Morocco is watching this very, very carefully. Part of this effort that's going on, part of what's going on today, is a small organization, relatively new, called the East Mediterranean Gas Alliance, which consists basically of Greece, Cyprus, Egypt, Israel, with France and Italy as official observers of it. And so we're talking about a very large quantity of countries of not trivial standing that are basically sending a message to Biden saying, if you want to continue functioning at all, at any level in the Middle East, you need to be thinking about your friends and not about your enemies. And this is a basic thing of what's going on right now. It's very important. Israel is the number two supplier to India of defense supplies. It's a very large trading partner with India in terms of agricultural economics.
Okay. You know what? We have
India
to go for a break.
Part of its oil from Iran. So India is not divorcing itself from Iran.
All right. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Right, new trends happening here in the Middle East, and we are speaking with Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem. And at the last part of the last segment, you were giving us some information.
Right, I was saying that there are a lot of things going on around with the various countries throughout the entire Middle East and beyond it. Two points of information that people need to be aware of on that. One is there was an announcement by the vice admiral of the Iranian Navy that India was to take part in a joint naval exercise between Iran and Russia. This was a lie, and India immediately called them out for it and said that they have no intention of taking part. They never had any intention. There were no discussions about them taking part in this thing. So this was pure propaganda, and it was a pure lie. And India dismissed it immediately. very interesting, because this is not the normal kinds of things done between quote unquote friends. And the second thing that news item, which is very important, is we had a visit these past couple of days from the energy minister of Egypt. Mm-hmm. First of all, this is the first high level ministerial level visit of an Egyptian minister to Israel for the past 5 years. And El Mola, the energy minister, is considered the closest of all ministers to the president of Egypt. So this is very high level. And the meeting ended with the signing of a new accord, and a very significant accord. And Israel is now has now contracted to lay a pipeline, a gas pipeline, from its Leviathan field to Egypt for liquefaction of the natural gas to be sold to various customers, with the most important customer being some people in the European Union, or some countries in the European Union. So this has enormous strategic importance. The objective is to supply Europe with as much as 10% of their energy needs. Very, very important, very significant. It changes the energy strategy of all of the of this section of the world.
Okay, so let me ask you, let me go back a bit just to the confidence that other countries today have in the United States with the new Biden administration, where they even America's allies are unsure of their place with America. And even if America is strong enough to keep its promises to the allies, and even with Israel, which has been a close ally with America, got the cold shoulder from Joe Biden. Our prime minister didn't get a phone call from him until just a few days ago. This was looked at as giving Israel the cold shoulder. In addition, when it was asked whether Israel was an ally or a close ally of the United States, they were hemming and hawing. The Biden administration wasn't really answering the question. These are things that are very worrying to an ally of a country that's supposed to be, you know, they say that they've got your back, etc. And then you do things because they say, well, don't do this for us because we've got your back, we've got your back. And in the end, they don't really maybe have your back. How do you think that this is going to play out with the lack of confidence in America today because of the Biden administration, that they perceive as weak when it comes to China, weak as it comes to Iran, which is a threat to many countries here in the Middle East? Where do you see that going?
First of all, I have to commend you. It's a very wise question, and it's very well phrased. It's much more important and much more significant than just the issue of United States and Israel. It's a very central issue, very central. When the social networks were shut down in the United States against Trump, and Parler was closed completely, and et cetera, one of the first people to shout about that, interestingly enough, was the president of France. And the prime ministers, both of Britain and Germany, all made very, very negative statements to the Biden administration directly and to the press about this whole issue. So it's not just Israel that's looking at America as being questionable, as being unreliable, as being something that, how can we say it, raises an eyebrow. I mentioned the way that countries here in the area are organizing to create a focal point in terms of military, diplomatic, and economic strength. And this is very significant. I should put it another way. You mentioned that, you know, the concept of have your back and et cetera. At 9/11, the American intelligence services, there are 17 of them, had exactly zero people in their services that spoke Arabic. Zero people that spoke Parsi.
Which is Persian.
They were totally dependent upon Israel for all intelligence from the area. Totally. Today, they've rectified that somewhat. They have some people in there, but they're still very, very dependent upon Israel for reliable intelligence from this entire area. And it goes beyond just the area of sharing of intelligence. If I give just one example of many, the Americans have a anti-missile, anti-aircraft system called Patriot, which has been around now for almost four decades. Every shot that you fire of the Patriot costs $2.5 million. Patriot in 40 years has yet to take down one incoming missile operational basis.
Huh.
For instance, in September 2019, when those Saudi oil fields were struck by Iran, they were protected in double quotation marks, by Patriot systems, which failed to operate. On the other hand, Israel's Iron Dome has already taken out well over 3,000 enemy missiles. In other words, it's certainly proved that it works. Each shot costs $50,000, not $2.5 million. And the American Army is now buying Iron Dome systems to protect its soldiers throughout the Middle East. So it is no longer a case where Israel is dependent upon the United States. It is now a case of total symbiosis. And as I said, there are many more systems that the United States Armed Forces buy from Israeli companies, and there are many other issues where the cooperation is very, very close. So this joining of groups of nations, India, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Emirates,
Egypt.
Morocco, Egypt, and etc., Greece and Cyprus,
mm-hmm.
each with their own interests, each with their own various concepts and needs.
And instinct for survival, for self-survival.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. All of these are very important, and if America does not wake up, it will be in very, very significant trouble. It's no longer a question where Americans can sit back and say, we're big, everybody else is small, we don't give a damn about you, you can do whatever you want, we're bigger than you are. It doesn't work that way anymore. And certainly not when you have a weakling who can barely function in the White House.
So in the last minute and a half that we have, I just have a quick question. You know, the left in America today is extremely strong. It's got the Oval Office. It's got the Congress. It's got the Senate. Around the world, it's gotten very cocky. And even though Biden himself is weak, I think many of us don't believe that he's even running the show. It's mostly he's just their puppet. And you know, so if that's the case, then why would the world look at America as being very weak today when the left, which is running America and has the power to yield or to wield, is strong?
Because that's a political issue, not a diplomatic issue. What you're perceiving, and you're perceiving it correctly, I completely agree with your statement. They're strong in terms of the political forces within the United States, but that has no effect whatever on issues of diplomacy, statesmanship, statecraft, intelligence, military, or even world economics. It just doesn't really affect that all that much.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Whereas Pelosi can have as much power as she thinks she has within the United States, she is absolutely nothing in terms of international, on the international stage.
Interesting. Thank you for thank you for answering that question. It makes sense. All right. Well, I think that we've learned a lot. I want to thank you for coming on the show today and bringing these topics up. I'm sure that a lot of Americans and people in the West don't get this news. Maybe it's there, but they don't find it. So we're delivering it to you and letting you know. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. And thank you, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you for having me.
All right. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to write me, Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Thanks for being with us, everybody.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Straight talk from Israel. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom! Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.